One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah 26, verse 3. And the prophet Isaiah said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you," or "whose mind is stayed on you." I love that verse. But I also realize that my mind isn't always fixed on God, and it's not always stayed. And when my mind wanders away from being focused on God, it's really easy to let other things come in and steal the peace in your life. Yesterday afternoon, after I went and sang with some of the kids and youth at the nursing home, went back home and was out trying to sort out all the piles of limbs and sticks and logs from the huge tree that fell out of our woods into our yard last Wednesday when we had all the windstorms the day before Thanksgiving. So I was burning some of those little limbs and trying to figure out what to do with the rest. And I was trying to get the rest of the leaves, you know, blown into the woods. And now they were wet enough that they wouldn't blow, so I actually had to resort to raking. And I'm thinking, it's December, why am I raking leaves? And then I cleaned out the gutters of the house, everything to get ready for winter. And after I was done cleaning out the gutters, I sat down on the roof, and I just noticed how incredibly blue the sky was. And so even though my hands were frozen from reaching in, Jenny said I should have taken gloves, but I was already up there, and I wasn't making multiple trips up and down. So I'd scooped out all the icy leaves from the gutters with my hands, so my hands were cold. But I was sitting on the roof, and I laid back, hands behind my head, staring up at the sky, and all of the limbs from the trees, which are now bare, were just like silhouettes, and the sky was just like, was bleeding through all of those limbs and trees. And for a moment in time, I didn't think about anything except how incredibly beautiful God's creation was and how blue the sky was. It was like I was just drinking in the blue as I was laying there for a few moments. And you know, I didn't think at all about the shooting at the Pensacola Air Base, as heartbreaking as that is. I didn't think about the guy who lost his life a couple weeks ago just a block north from us at Jake's Pub. I didn't think about all the stories I'd seen on the news for the past weeks, how almost every night in our city somewhere or multiple places there are shootings. I didn't think about any of that. I didn't think about the families that are just being wrecked and destroyed in Syria because of all the conflict on that. Up on the roof for those moments, gazing at a blue sky and thinking about the God who created that and seeing that blueness just coming through the trees and the limbs was a moment of peace. And then I had to come down. And I was careful, for those of you who might be concerned that I was up on the roof. And I realized that, you know, there are those special moments, those serendipity moments where God is almost so close that you can, you know, touch him and feel him. There are those moments where we're just enveloped with his peace. And it made me realize that all of us need the peace of God in our lives every day. We need peace in our relationship with God. We need inner peace of mind. We need peace with other people. And what I love about the Christmas story is that one of the gifts that is woven through the story of the birth of Jesus Christ is the gift of peace. In Isaiah's prophecy, one of the titles that is given to the Messiah was a Prince of Peace. And in the Gospel of Luke, the angel's proclamation is good news of great joy, and it's a pronouncement of peace to mankind. I thought of all down through the centuries how that message still rings clear. Been watching a documentary that Ken Burns did on PBS on the American West. And my goodness, we were savage, brutal people at that point in our history of our country. I mean, the things that were happening in the West and out West in the mid-1800s, and I mean, I knew some of that, but I didn't realize the magnitude of it. And I thought, actually, we're more civilized today than they were in the mid-1800s in the West of our country. But you just realize that all the things that are going on in our world today accentuate the fact that we need that message that still rings clear, that there is one who has come and is coming again, who was the Prince of Peace and is the Prince of Peace and will be the coming Prince of Peace. And the Gospel of Luke makes that pronouncement. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. It's the third book in the New Testament, written by Luke, who was actually a physician and who was accompanied the Apostle Paul on some of his travels. And this may be one of the more familiar Christmas readings, that if you grew up hearing the Christmas story, this definitely was part of that. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" That pronouncement that the angels made was not just a general wish for world peace. We had a basketball player that used to play for the Pacers that changed his name to reflect his desire for world peace. It's a popular thing to talk about world peace. But this was not just a general wish, well, we just need to pray for peace in our world. This was a proclamation that the angels made, and it was a specific promise of peace, and that promise of peace was tied directly to the Son of God who had just entered into human history, born as it was as a small child, an infant. It was a promise of peace given to people, to men and to women. It wasn't just a general sort of thing, a blanket thing, world peace. It was specific peace that was given to men and women. And that gift of peace was given to those who receive God's favor or his grace. Peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests, or on whom his grace rests. That when God extends his goodwill to people, it's when we are receptive of that, when we receive God's grace, we are recipients of that gift of peace. Later, when Jesus was nearing the end of his life and was facing his own death, in John 14, 27, he talked about a gift of peace that he was giving to his disciples. And he knew what was ahead. This is spoken like about 4 days before his crucifixion. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So the angels made this proclamation that there would be peace for those who were recipients of God's grace and his favor, and that Jesus promised that he would give a gift of peace. Now, I think there are three aspects to peace that all of us need, and I think the scripture addresses all three of those. All of them are gifts of God, but they involve our response, the response on our part to receive the peace that comes from God. And the first thing is peace with God. And the second thing is peace with ourself, or our inner peace of mind. And the third is peace with others. And all three of those build on the other. You cannot truly be at peace in your relationship with others if you don't have inner peace in your mind. And you cannot have inner peace in your mind unless you are at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to take a look at each of these individually just for a moment. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And the first thing that I want us to see is that we have peace with God. Because we were created to know, worship, and love God, we are never at peace until that relationship with God is restored. And so this is what the Apostle Paul said. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified," and that word justified means to be pardoned or forgiven or to set right, "therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And Paul goes on to talk about the fact that we rejoice in the hope that we have. And then he gets down to verse 8 and he talks about how God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what the scripture is teaching in this and other places is that we have peace with God. We are restored in our relationship with God through what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We are made right with him through faith, and we have peace with him through Jesus Christ. And we have faith because God has extended his grace to us, and we respond in faith in trusting him. The writer of Ecclesiastes said this, God has set eternity in our hearts. And that means that there is an inner longing in every person to be reconnected with God, even if they don't recognize that longing for what it is, or even if they recognize it but reject it. In every person, God has set eternity in their heart, which means there's some sense that we need to be connected with God, and there is a need for us to be restored to a right relationship with him. Every one of us, myself included, every single one of you sitting out here today, every one of us has been separated from God by our sin and our own self-centered hearts. There is a barrier between human beings and God, and we're the ones who put that barrier there. We may try to reach God on our own, but our own efforts to reach him or to find peace with him are futile. All of us, Scripture and human experience bear it out. All of us have been alienated from God because of our sin and self-centeredness. Isaiah described it this way. He says, your sins have separated you from God. And then he said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. So we're separated from God, but deep down inside, people long for peace with God. And we know that we're not at peace with our Maker when we're separated from him. And it is through faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture teaches us that we have peace with God. And the good news is, the good news of the gospel, the good news of the Christmas message and the Christmas season, is that God is the one who reaches down to us. Jesus, the Savior, was Emmanuel, God with us. God took the initiative to reach down to us, not just us trying to clamber and climb and somehow, if we could, reach God. Jesus is the one who broke down the barriers that separate us from God. He is the one who reconciles us to God, restores our peace with God. And so the truth is that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are made right. That's what the word justified means. We are made right in our relationship with God. And when we are made right in our relationship with God, the result of that is peace. We're at peace with God. We're no longer at odds with God. We're no longer on the run. We're no longer separated from him. We're no longer strangers to his love. We have peace with God because we have been forgiven and brought into his family. And thus we are home. We are at peace. The biblical word for peace in the Hebrew language is shalom. It means wholeness, wellness, completeness. It means being restored to how we were intended to live. And it is only as we are restored to a right relationship with God that we are whole and complete and at peace. So the great need that every human being has on planet Earth is to be at peace with God. And the message of the gospel is, the story of Christmas is, God took the initiative to bridge that gap and to open up a way for us to come back to him, and that is through Christ. And we have peace with God because we have been made right, pardoned, forgiven, justified through faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The second need that we have is we have a need to be at peace with ourself, a peace of mind, you could say. There is so much that we face in this life that can make us anxious and worried and unsettled or fearful. And if we choose to focus on those things, we will not experience the peace of God, and instead we'll live with the stress that eats away at us from the inside. And in the face of all of life's trials and hardships and stresses and disappointment, We can have peace of mind or inner peace. Peace of mind brings life. Proverbs 40 verse 30 is an interesting verse. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Now, I would suggest that you could substitute a lot of words in there for envy, but in this particular context. But look at the first part of that. The heart at peace gives life to the body. So often in our lives, we let things like envy steal our peace. And what we learn from this verse is that peace of mind brings wholeness to us. It gives life to our body. But we're also told that there are things that can rob us of peace of mind, things that are destructive to us. And in the case of this verse, it's envy. So when you think about that, when you envy someone else or you covet what someone else has, you lose your peace of mind. And there are quite a number of things that can rob us of our peace of mind. I mean, let me just put this first one out there. If we're living in habitual sin and knowing there's things in our life that we shouldn't be doing and we keep on doing it and we keep on doing it, it's going to rob our peace. If we fail to trust God, and I'm not talking here about trusting God as in putting our trust in Christ as our Savior. I'm talking about in our everyday lives as we're trying to follow God. When we fail to trust Him in the things that we're going through in life, I can guarantee you're going to lose your peace of mind. When you try to work things out on our own, when we don't ask for God's help or we're too proud to ask for others' help, we'll lose our peace of mind. Worry robs us of peace of mind. Conflict, resentment, bitterness, anger, envy, discontent. All of these things are things that rob us of our peace of mind. So how do we receive God's gift of peace when talking about the peace of mind? I'm not talking about the spiritual peace of being in right relationship with God. I'm talking about here the everyday peace of our thought patterns and our thinking and our mind. How do we receive that peace of mind, when we're facing things like anxiety and worry and stress? And I believe that the answer to dealing with that stress and that worry and that anxiety of this world is not to just develop an escapist attitude. We're not called to run away from our problems. We're not called even to avoid tension-producing challenges of life as much as we'd like to. We're called to answer those stresses and those strains and those challenges and those problems of life with prayer. And one of the wonderful passages of Scripture is in Philippians chapter 4. And if you want to know how to deal with the stress and the things that would rob you of your peace of mind, it's to pray and to give it to God. Let me read a couple of those verses. I know you're familiar with them. Verses 5 and or 6 and 7. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Well, sometimes I'm anxious. Sometimes you're anxious. Scripture is saying, don't be anxious about anything. So what do we do? Well, in everything, by prayer and petition just means you're giving your request to God. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So rather than letting all these things rob us of our peace, we have this invitation that when we're stressed out, when we're worried, when we don't have peace, we can come to God, and He offers us this exchange. You give me your worry, I'll give you my peace. You give me your stress, I'll give you my peace. And I can think of many times in my life when God gave peace of mind when we were going through a difficult time and we committed the situation to God and we prayed about it and we got to the place where we could say, okay, I'm just leaving it in your hands. And I've told you some of those stories even over the past couple of months. And I'm not saying that's easy. Because the truth of the matter is we hold on and we feel responsible and we want to work all these things out. It's not easy, but here's this wonderful promise. When we're anxious, God is saying, don't be anxious. But he's not just leaving it in that. He's saying, no, you can tell me the things that you're anxious about. You can talk to me. You can pray. And when you do that, when you bring your burdens and your concerns and your worries and your stresses and you give them to me and you present those to me, my peace will, that's beyond what you can think of humanly, will guard your heart and your mind. And the other thing we can do is we can turn our thoughts and our focus to God. And the last couple of verses in that paragraph in Philippians 4 says, finally, friends, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What a great piece of advice. When we begin to lose peace of mind because of the stuff that's going on in our lives or the pressures or the stress of life around us, we're invited not only to give all those to God in prayer, but we're invited to turn our focus to these things. I can't do that by watching the TV. I mean, not that I'm going to give up watching TV necessarily, but I can't, I mean, honestly, I watch much of the news, don't necessarily know what's true. There's not a lot that's noble or right or pure or lovely or admirable. I mean, occasionally you get a nice human interest story, you know, on one of the local news channels, but most of what you see is the opposite of those things. It's usually the opposite of what's noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. But we have a choice, and our choice is, if we're going to put our trust in God, we can learn to turn our focus on these things, and when we do, the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds. And I'm asking myself, and I'll ask you this question, what worries do we need to give over to God this Christmas season? Right now, what are the stresses that are, I mean, probably, you know, we as human beings have wonderfully magnificent brains. And you can be listening to what I'm saying right now, and at the same time, you're thinking of other things. Hopefully, not necessarily the Colts game later, but you're thinking, you're processing, because you can listen to my words and you can be thinking at the same time. What things do you need to give over to God this Christmas season? And then the last thing is, Christ came to restore us to a right relationship with God so that we would be at peace with God. He invites us to come to him in our stress and our worry and anxiety and our problems of life and to give those things to him, and he promises that he will give us peace of mind. And then the third thing is, Christ came to break down the barriers between people and to bring peace. And there's a wonderful passage about that in Ephesians that we won't take the time to look at this morning. But Christ is the one who breaks down the barriers. Often one of the things that most destroys our own peace of mind is conflict that we have with other people. Just as sin separated us from God, sinful actions or attitudes or hurtful words between people separate us from others. And Jesus talked about the reality that we as his followers are supposed to be peacemakers. In fact, he said, we'll be blessed or we'll be happy. Happy are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And Scripture teaches us that Jesus, through his death, broke down the barriers that keep people separated, not only from God, but broke down the barriers that keep people separated from each other. Ephesians 2:14 says this, for he himself is our peace, who made the two one, meaning two groups of people, is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, who made the two one, and he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. And the question is, will we let him do that? Will we let him tear down the walls that separate us from other people? God intends for us to live in peace with others. Well, how do we do that? Well, I think the first thing you can do is you can pray for the people that have hurt you. And I think I've shared this story before. When I was a young pastor, the previous pastor at my church that was there for 22 years, that became conference superintendent, made it really, not intentionally, but made it really difficult for me to find my own footing as a pastor who followed him because he was still in my church. And I struggled. I had bad feelings, resent. I was always respectful to him. I never was demeaning to him, to anybody else, but inside I really always struggled. And then one day, I don't know why, just out of the blue, I just decided I needed to release all of that. And I was praying, and I prayed for him. And if you want the surest way to bring to forgiveness and healing in your life and your feelings towards somebody else, you pray for them. And I began to pray for him. And all of a sudden, it was gone. But from that point on, I never had those feelings of ill will and resentment and bitterness toward that man, because I realized that Scripture teaches us to pray for those, even those that we consider our enemies. We're to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Bottom line, we can try to, you know, work our way around that. Well, you know, I'll forgive, but I won't forget, which basically means you really haven't forgiven if you're saying that as a statement. We're to bless those who bring stress into our life. Think about that. Love your enemies, Jesus said in Luke 6. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If you want to get a handle on the lack of peace that you have in relationships with other people, pray for them, forgive them, bless them. Ultimately, though, in the big picture, Christ is the only one who will bring peace between people. We as Christians are united in Christ. We have to do our part to make peace with others. But ultimately, we await his return to this world to establish peace. And that's the whole idea of Advent. It's not just looking back to the coming of Christ some 2,000 years ago. It's a looking ahead to his return. World peace is not going to come through the governments of this world. It's not. It's only going to come under the kingdom of God and the reign of Christ, first in our hearts and in the future on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah the prophet had a vision of the time when weapons would be made into tools of agriculture, and when the wolf would lie down with the lamb and the lion would eat straw with an ox. And until that time comes, when Christ returns and the kingdom of God rules on this earth, we are called to be people of peace. Paul wrote in Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, in your relationships. So the solution for conflict in our lives is to let the peace of Christ be the ruling factor in our relationships and take the steps that are necessary on our part to make peace. If we have the peace of Christ in our hearts, it should be lived out in our lives, because we are called to be peacemakers. So this Christmas season, I want to ask you another question. Who do you need to rebuild a relationship with during this Christmas season? What greater opportunity is there than in these weeks ahead? Our three greatest needs for peace are peace with God, inner peace of mind, and peace with others. I ask the worship team to come back up, and we're going to move into short prayer time, and then we're going to be transitioning into our baptismal service. As they come, though, I want to suggest to you three things that you might need, three steps, three actions that you might need to take to have peace this Christmas season. And the first one, to me, is the most obvious and the most important. If you have not already done so, open up your heart to Jesus Christ, put your faith in him, give your life to him, and you will know the reality of being at peace with God. The second thing is, if you are struggling with stress or anxiety or worry, talk to God. Pray. Give it over to him. Ask Christ to give you the peace of God in whatever situation is getting you down. Ask him specifically for that. And then the last thing is, let Christ help you bring peace into stressed relationships. you be the one who takes the steps to make peace. So if there's one of those three things or something else that you need to pray about this morning, this is your opportunity. Our altars are open if you want to come and pray at these altars, or you can pray in your seat. But as the worship team plays and leads us into this prayer time, let's pray together. You pray individually in your heart and mind. Talk to God. You can pray at these altars. And maybe one of those things are the things that you need to pray about.